This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Take your Bible, and I want you to go to the book of Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. I want you to look in verse number 1 this morning. The Song of Solomon, chapter number 2, and verse number 1. Last night, I'll tell you how this message came upon me, how the Lord works in really just strange ways. I went up last night to end out my Saturday. I was going to pray for a little bit for some preachers that would be preaching tomorrow. And I went up and began reading in Psalm chapter number 69. At the top of that psalm, David wrote the inscription. It says, "The Psalm of David to the chief musician in Shoshanim," S-H-O-S-H-A-N-N-I-M, Shoshanim. The Holy Spirit plucked my heart and said, look up that word, that Hebrew word, Shoshanim. And the word Shoshanim, it is the Hebrew word, and it literally means the lily. And what we think it means, we don't have a solid grasp on that, but we think, put that in parentheses, we think that David wanted Psalm 69 sung to the accompaniment of a trumpet, and on the end of that trumpet it flowered out, the bellow, the horn, if you know what I'm saying, and they had split the gold and silver to look like the end of a lily, and we think that David wanted that. We don't know. I kindly lean to the understanding that I believe that David wrote this psalm, wrote Psalm 69, when he was walking in a dark place and found a patch of lilies in his shepherding, is what I think. Now, I can't prove that, so we won't argue over that, but here's what I'm saying. This is how God gave me the message. So last night I got to think about lilies, and immediately, when I read that word lily in my Hebrew lexicon, I was reminded of our text in Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse number 1. Read it with me out loud. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the... I am the rose of Sharon and I am the lily of the valleys. There's a couple of things you need to notice in the text of that word. Number one, who is talking? Well, Solomon's talking, obviously. This is the Song of Solomon. But remember what I've told you in your Bible study, there's always several meanings to every passage. Number one, there's what's being said, and then there's what's really being said. What's being said is what Solomon was talking about himself. He said, I'm the rose of Sharon, I'm the lily of the valley. But you need to understand, in the Bible, when somebody's talking, somebody else is really talking. And when somebody else is speaking, somebody else is really doing the speaking. And when somebody's a-writing, somebody else is really doing the writing. Who is that somebody? Well, the Solomon may be the first somebody, but the real somebody is the Holy Ghost. And Solomon may be the one talking, but the real one talking is the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you that there's an interesting little thought that you need to look at. Who is really the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley? Well, you'll get an illustration of it in the first two words of the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 1. What are the first two words of verse number 1? I am. And if you have a King James translation of the Bible, I is capitalized, A is capitalized, and M is capitalized. Now, I'm not an English scholar, but I do understand a little bit, and I know that the only time you ever capitalize two words in a row is when you are speaking of a personal person, a real, real, a walking walker, a talking talker. And really, the only time you're ever supposed to double capitalize two words back to back is when you are speaking of someone that is divinity. And we find that in Exodus chapter number 3, long about verse number 1 down through verse number 15, where Moses is looking at a burning bush and he says, who shall I say has sent me to free the people of Israel? And that burning bush looks at him and says, you tell him, I am that I am has sent you, capitalized I, capitalized A, and capitalized M. You know who this I am is. It's Jesus Christ. He is the rose of Sharon and he is the lily of the valley. Now, here's what I'm looking at this this morning. I'm looking at these roses, and I told you this was one of my 11:45 ideas on a sunny, beautiful Saturday night. How many of you would like to come work for me? How many of you think I'd be a blessing to work? You better raise your hand. I'll preach till 3:30. Say amen right there. I'd be a blessing to come work for, because when you work for Tyler Curtis, we make sure you get paid on time. We make sure you get paid good. But, oh, there are some mighty benefits that do not go in the structure package. And one of those would be you're going to get a phone call or a text message at about 1 a.m., 2 a.m. It could be 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. And this is going to be what that text message, and if you don't answer my text messages right away, you get a phone call, ring-a-ding. I do not care what time it is. And here's what it's going to say at about 12 o'clock at night. Hey, do you know anywhere that would still be open that would sell lilies this time of night? I don't know how they did it. I don't know where they got it. But here this morning, we're going to look at us some lilies, because when I see this lily, I see the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the second commandment of the Ten Commandments that God gave to the children of Israel. Number one, he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second commandment, he said, thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image. What does that mean? God was telling Moses and the people of Israel. He said, do not form an idol that would you think I look like. Do not try to draw what you think I look like, because if you ever try to draw me, you'll never get the full picture. If you ever try to form me, you'll never get the full form, because I am bigger than any one thing. I'm bigger than any 10 things. I'm bigger than all things. But here's what you've got to understand. While God cannot be pictured in any one thing, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, has stamped His character and stamped His goodness and stamped His mercy on every piece of His creation, no matter how marred by sin it would be. And so whenever He tells us, I am the rose and I am the lily, then you know that you can look at those two things and learn something about the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's something you need to mark down in that text of your Bible right there. I want you to notice something when He says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the... Some of you got it, some of you didn't. I am the lily, singular, of the valleys, plural. Do you know why? Because in every one of our lives, there are going to be multiple valleys. In every one of our lives, there are going to be multiple places where we go down deep. In every one of our lives, there are going to be multiple times when we don't know when up is coming and we don't know when the light's going to shine. But in every single one of our valleys, honey, there is only one lily that you'll ever find down deep in the mud and the mire, and that is the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care if it's your valley, their valley, my valley, his valley, over there's valley. You'll find one man, and it's the God-man, Jesus. Jesus, precious sweet name, the one that I know. Let me just look at these things. I got 9 things. I may get through 2. I may make up and just say 35, whatever the Holy Ghost wants. Number one, how do I see Jesus in this lily? Number one, because lily, do you know what the word lily means in the Latin, which is where the word lily comes from? It is the Latin word lilium candidum. Do you know what the phrase lilium means in the Latin? It means a beautiful flower. Whenever somebody walked by one day, and I don't, you ever wonder who it is that names these flowers? You know, they always say, somebody somewhere said this. I wish I one day, I'm going to be that somebody somewhere, and I'm going to find me a cat whenever they erase the English language, and I'm going to look at that cat, and I'm going to name that cat, because every time somebody goes by a cat, I want them to say, Mommy, Mommy, what's that? And Mommy's going to go, that's exactly what that is. Here's what I'm saying. Somewhere along the way, somebody found a white flower in the middle of the nothing, and they walked by it, and somebody said, what is that flower? They said, I've never seen a flower look like that. I've never seen a flower as beautiful as that. I think I'll call it the beautiful flower, and that's where the name lily came from. Ladies and gentlemen, when I look at that, I see beauty. I see beauty not just because of the petals, but I see beauty because of the color. When I look at that, I see a white flower. There are 4 different types of lily in the world. We are familiar with 2 of them. Number one, we are familiar with an Asiatic lily, which is a lily that's yellow and red and purple and magenta and whatever fragrancy, flippy floppy color you want to think of. That is an Asiatic. That's an Asiatic lily. But the Oriental lily only comes in one color, and it grows in one place originally, and that was in the land of Israel. And you know what that is? That Oriental lily is white. When you look at that, you know what you see? No spot, no blemish, no problem, no issue, no scuds. You know what you say about that? You say, that is a pure lily. That is a clean lily. That is a holy lily. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a God man that rose up in 30 AD on the side of the Jordan River, and John the Baptizer said, "That is the Lamb of God. In him I find no blemish. In him I find no guile. In him I find no issue. In him I find no pain. In him I find no problem." He's so clean and holy that he could go down with a prostitute, and by the time it was over, she was saved by the grace of Almighty God. He was so holy, he'd go into where a drunk was, and by the time it was over, that drunk was still drinking, but he found him a new well, honey, and it was the living water of the Lamb. You go in with a group of tax collectors and a bunch of thieves, and by the time he came out, those thieves were saying, "I'll pay back everything I've got times four." You know why? Because he's holy and he's righteous. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a day and an hour. I've seen him. I've talked to him. And people want to hip-hop with Jesus, bebop with Jesus, color Jesus, do all this stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not the man upstairs. He's not homeboy. He's not homegirl. He's not peace out, pot on pot. He's the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. He's holy. He's righteous. He's good. He's omnipotent. He's powerful. Here's the thing. When I see him, I bow down. Not because I'm bad, but because in the light of his holiness and his righteousness and his goodness, I am nothing more than a filthy rag. But good God in heaven, when I got baptized in the family of God and birthed by the power of the Holy Ghost, you know what happened to me? What he was became what I am, and what I am was put on him. He was without sin. He was without spot. He was without guile. And I was baptized in the family of God by the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Ladies and gentlemen, Ephesians chapter 3 and chapter 4. I got baptized in the beloved. I got saved by the grace of God. And I put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? Let me put that in redneck, North Carolina, so you understand it. Give for county language. This is what that means. All my bad met all his good, and all his good took care of all my bad. All my sin got baptized in all his holiness, and all his holiness overwhelmed all my sin. You can't save yourself. You can't buy yourself. You can't get you a ticket into heaven because you're too dirty and you're too rotten. But let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's holy, good, righteous, eternal, pure, spotless. He is God, and he'll save your soul. That's just number one. Number two, they tell me about this lily. They call it the beautiful flower. I learned something else about lilies last night. Did you know that? I did not know this. Did you know that lilies are the only flower in the world that actually emit fragrance? You know how many women, your man, your boo thing, your baby, your old man has ever given you a flower and you went and sniffed it? You do realize that that flower, that pretty smell you smell, that's not that flower emitting fragrance. If it wasn't a lily, you know what that is? That's bee poop. I'm not God. Don't get mad at me. They don't emit any fragrance. Roses don't emit fragrance. Some of y'all are looking around. Is that true? It's what I read. I'm not a botanist. Don't crucify me. You're the one smelling feces. Say amen right there. I saved you all the trouble. You're pure and clean because I'm a low-down dog. Ain't never bought you flowers. But listen, we all think they emit a fragrance. This morning when Heather got here, she came to the door, her and Austin, she brought this, and she said, "Man, these smell good." And I told her that little tip, and she went and found a rose. She said, "You know, I used to think it had a beautiful smell until I started smelling this. And once I got a whiff of real fragrance, this just smells like bee." You say, that offends me. I got some other words some of these people tell you when you walk out that door. You'll think bee poop is on the holy up and up. Say amen right there. This is what I'm telling you. Here's what I'm saying. Everything in our life, we think it smells good. We think it's wonderful. We think it's great. We think it's awesome. We think it's got something. But when you finally meet the Lord Jesus Christ and you finally get a glimpse, I'm not talking about what the Baptist told you he was. I'm not talking about what the Methodist told you. I'm talking about what that Bible says about the lily of the valley. And you start talking about how sweet he is and how good he is and how he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you and he'll never throw you by the wayside and he won't abandon you. You'll get you one whiff of the good God of heaven and you'll say, you know what? That beer didn't have near the taste I thought it had. That dope didn't have near the joy I thought it had. That relationship didn't have near the joy I thought it had. Because once I met Jesus, everything else pales in comparison to the lovely fragrance and aroma. But do you know what else they said about that lily's smell? They said that it had a narcotic element to it. And that when a man or a woman in pain in the Oriental time would have a pain, they would take the lily, and if they needed quick relief, they could smell, and the fragrance it emitted would dull the pain they were feeling. One whiff of a lily's fragrance would make you forget the pain you were feeling. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you something? I have been in churches, I have been in services where I was looking for narcotics. Say amen right there. I mean, dead as a hammer. God wasn't within 1,000 miles. God hadn't shown up in that place in 15 years. And then I've been in some places where my old heart was broken. My heart was in 1,000 pieces. And in the back door when I wasn't looking, I felt the back end get kicked out and the glory roll in and Jesus showed up and all of a sudden my broken heart got mended again. All of a sudden my weary mind got on the mends again. Once again, I felt that there was hope. I felt there was power. I felt there was peace. I felt it. You know why? Not because of me, but because Jesus showed up on the scene. That is what they say about the way it smells. Number three, I'll just say this. They say that lilies, now some of you ladies will understand this. They say that lilies, when they bloom, are the first sign that winter is over and spring is on the way. When you see the lily, wake up. You know the death of winter has passed and the life of spring is on the way. When the lily wakes, whoop. When the lily wakes up, you know everything else is going to wake up. Amen. You know when the lily comes out, other stuff's going to come out too. It's like when the lily wakes up, the lily's looking at the sunshine and the birds and the trees. And this is what the lily's saying. There's more where this came from. Let me fast forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 20, where Paul says that Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead is the first fruits of the resurrection. Do you know what that means? Here's what that means. That means that on that day, that third morning, in that little empty tomb on the side of Golgotha's hill in Joseph of Arimathea's garden tomb, there was that Jesus, there was that lily laid inside of that tomb in a cold, in a damp, in a dark, you need to remember that, in a cold, in a damp, in a dark place, in a cold, in a damp. I done preached this at 9:30 and I don't know where I'm going. They don't know where I'm going, but when they know where I'm going, they're going to know where I'm at and they're going to get there too. In a cold, in a damp, in a dark place. Do you know what happened there in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb? The lily of the valley that had been closed by that Roman spear and closed by those nails and closed, good God in heaven, by that cross. You know what he did, honey? Those 6 petals, they opened up on that third and glorious morning. And do you know what the tomb said? The tomb opened up and this is what the tomb said. Honey, there's more where that came from. Do you know what that means? As he lives, so shall I live. As he got up from the dead, so shall we get up from the dead. You know what he was saying? There's more where that came from. Let me just hit me a little place right here. How many of you have got loved ones in the ground and loved ones in the grave, and you've had to bury their body? You've had to walk to the tomb. Good God in heaven, you've had to lay their body down. You've had to see those babies get miscarried. You had to see that baby born still. You had to see that mother go down to the tomb. You had to bury that father. You had to bury that loved one. And you got down there to the tomb, and the devil said, God's not good. God's not good. God's not good. But on the other side of your soul, something was saying, this can't be it. This can't be over. This can't be done. And I'm telling you, child of God, in Christ, it is not done. It is not over. And it is not through. You say, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. There's a harvest day coming, and the saints of God are going to rise, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. How do I know, preacher? Because on that third resurrection morning, the lily of the valley, he got up, he got up, he got up. And because he got up, we'll get up too. Whew. Hey, you know I'm always sweating through all my clothes? Somebody got me a real sweat towel. And you know the best thing, Tom, about the sweat towel you got me? I can wring it wet, and then you put it on your neck, and it cools your body down. Say amen right there. Number, what number am I on? Okay, either y'all ain't listening, or y'all got too far ahead of me. So point number 3.5, whatever I'm on. Do you know what? I know God's in lilies. I'm going to tell you how I know God's in lilies. This point right here beats all the points I've ever... You know that lilies can be eaten? They're not poisonous, but to one species of animals. You'll never believe what species of animals. Lilies. Meow, baby. Cat, cat, dead, dead, gone, honey. That's the truth. I looked that up. That's the truth. They can't... Hey, if you got one of them stupid cats running around your house that you didn't want, you didn't have, put you out a little Easter lily and you watch that thing go down in the resurrection. Say amen right there. Don't get mad at me. I'm not God. I'm just preaching the truth. Let me get on to the real part of the message. That is true, though. I did read that. That is true. And I hate cats. The next thing that I learned about lilies, if you ever study botany, if you ever study plants, if you ever study flowers, flowers have to reproduce in order to grow again. The process whereby they begin that is called the process of pollination. You've read about pollination. That's where the bees in the springtime begin to flutter around and they land. And what bees do is bees will take their appendages and they'll go down and they'll break up the pollen. And they'll take the pollen to another plant. That's called cross-pollination. Okay? But if the bees on most flowers do not break up the pollen, then that flower will not reproduce. But, you know, the lily's got this strange pollination, a way that it reproduces itself. It's called self-pollination. Do you know what it'll do? It doesn't need outside help. Here's what happens. When the wind starts blowing real hard, it breaks up all those little life-giving seeds. And those life-giving seeds get loose. And that wind will carry, because it's already broken the seed, the wind will carry the seed and will pollinate somewhere else. And the wind does all the work that the worker bees used to do. The worker bees don't have near as hard a job with the lily, because the seed gets spread by the wind. Do you know what wind is a type of in the Bible? It's a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Do you want me to tell you why most churches have a hard time growing? I'll tell you why most churches have a terribly hard time growing. It's because there's no wind. That wind is not able to pollinate. That wind is not allowed to blow hard enough where it breaks down the pollen. pollen and carries the seed. And so you got a few worker bees that are getting in there and running their hands down to the bone, trying to get, we get programs and we run our hands down to the bone. We get all these different things and we work our hands down to the bone. And at the end of the day, we're doing all the work. We're doing all the flying. We're doing all the lifting. We're doing all the heavy, heavy work. But here's what happens. When you get a real lily and you have a church that has Jesus and they lift, you know what? Glory. Do you know what a church has to do? All they've got to do is be the stalk and lift up the lily, and the Holy Ghost does the rest of the work. Because when you get in a church and you let the wind start blowing, that wind will blow across that name of Jesus, and it'll come across that name called Jesus, and it'll break down the people, and it'll carry the life-giving seeds somewhere else. This is what I'm telling you. We don't have to do anything but be faithful and be pure and be lifters up of the Lord Jesus. You say, what do I do? I work at Piggly Wiggly. What do I do? I'll tell you what you do. You give them $19.99 cash and tell them Jesus is the light of the world and lift up the lily. You say, I'm an accountant. What do I do? Tell them they owe you $19,225 and tell them Jesus already paid your debt and lift up the Lamb of God. What do I do? I'm a contractor. Every time you dig a hole, you dig it in Jesus' name, knowing you don't have to go to hell. You'll never burn in the pit. And you tell them Jesus is the way and lift up the lily. And when the wind gets to blowing and the wind gets to rocking, you let that seed get broke up and you let that thing go where it is. You say, preacher, how do I lift up Jesus? Just do what he did. Die to self and let God do the rest. That's all you've got to do. Now watch this. Where'd my towel go? Numbers. Thanks, Reese. All right. I got two more. Number one, number six, whatever. I don't care. They say that lilies have a medicinal purpose. Lilies have a medicinal purpose. What they would do is they would take the lily. You know what they would do with the lily? They would take the lily and they would crush it. I can feel it in my hands right now. When the lily got crushed and torn, it put off a liquid. And they would take that liquid and mix that life-giving juice that flowed from the broken lily, and they would mix it with oil, and they would give it for a medicine. It would cure two things. Number one, that juice, that flow, that liquid that was poured out of the open wounds of that lily, mixed with oil, you rednecks, oil, it would cure depression and heart disease. If Jesus is a type of the lily, broken, crushed, destroyed on Calvary's hill, what is that life-giving juice that flowed from the crushed side and head and hands of the Lord Jesus? It was the blood of the Lamb of God. And what happened when the blood of the Lamb of God mixed with the oil, a type of the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit took that life-giving flow and mixed it together, good God in heaven, he applied it to my spiritual heart disease, and that which was dead was brought back to life. That which was damaged was brought back to life. That which had the disease of sin was brought back to life. Why? Because the lily was crushed and it got mixed with the oil, and the oil bore the pathogen and the healing into my soul. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you here today, don't you think for one second that this old boy in this gray suit and purple tie can do anything to your heart. I can't heal your heart. I can't save your soul, but I know one that was bruised on Calvary's hill and he died your death, and He paid your price, and He laid down His life for your life. And because He died, and that life-giving juice, His blood flowed out of Emmanuel's veins, sinners plunged beneath that flood will lose all of their guilty stains. What I'm trying to tell you is it can heal your spiritual heart disease. You can take all the vitamins and spiritual omega-3s. You can suck you down 4 tilapia and 15 flounder, but that won't do near for you what the Lord Jesus Christ will do for your spiritual heart. Ladies and gentlemen, He will heal you. He will save you. He'll give you life where death was. He'll give you hope where no hope was. He'll give you peace where no peace was. Why? Because He was crushed. Now, there's another disease, Carrie, that lily oil was used for when mixed with oil. Depression. Depression. They would tell that person to take that juice, sappy, and wring it out. Mix it with the oil and touch it to their tongue. And what was a mental issue was healed because something gave its life. I believe in depression. I believe I've walked through its valley a few times. But I'm going to tell you a surefire trick. It will not take you out of the pit of depression, but it'll give you a little glimmer of a maglite flashlight in that depression. And that's this: that Jesus gave His life for you so that the devil could never take yours. And when I know I really have life, it's a glimmer of hope. Now, last point. You ready? Y'all let me preach this? Y'all let me? Okay. Here's this last point. Do you remember I told you what the real name of the oriental lily was? Lilium candidum. You ready? Lilium candidum. Do you know what that literally means? What that literally means in Hebrew? That literally means the lily of the dark forest. The flower of the dark forest. You ready for this? Originally, before we came into all of the crossovers and we came into all of the cloning that we're able to do, lilies only grow in one place. And three conditions have to be there in order for it to grow. It has to be a cold place, has to be a damp place, and it has to be a dark place. How many of you ever had a bouquet of lilies and put them out in the sunshine? What happens within just the course of a few hours? They wilt away. Do you know why they called these the beautiful flower of the dark forest? Because only one type of person ever got to see its real beauty. Only those people that were in a dark, cold, damp place were able to see the beauty of the lily. Preacher! Why'd God put me here? Because you're in a dark place, you can see how beautiful Jesus really is. Why did He put me here? Because it's only in that dark, damp, dead place that you enjoy the beauty of the flower. You know, if these flowers were up here among all these other, these really don't have you don't get the fullness of their beauty. But if I were to take you out into a dark wood, a dark forest, and there was no light out there, and there was no flowers out there, and the only thing you saw was moss, and then one day you happened to stumble upon a beautiful patch of lilies, you know what you'd do? You'd stop. You'd admire them. You'd say how beautiful they are, how wonderful they are. And this is what God does. does to us in America because we're so spoiled with everything that we have. He'll take away all of our pleasures. He'll take away all of our fancies. He'll take away everything that we have, and He'll put us in that cold place, in that dead place. He'll put us on that path where nobody is. He'll put us on that path where nobody's at, and all of a sudden one day we'll realize that the whole time we were walking, He's been walking with us. The whole time we've been trodden, He's been trodden with us. We'll find the lily in our valleys. We'll find that He's pure, He's good. Now watch this. Are you ready? You remember all that pollination talk? Do you know what you learn when you find a lily in the valley? Y'all ready? I need to get dignified. When you stumble upon this, Brother Bob, in the dark woods, you know what you realize? There's only one way those got here. The wind blew here before, and it'll blow here again. Some of you are in dark places. Some of you are in dead places. Some of you are in damp places. And you say, God, how in the world am I ever going to get out of this? How am I ever going to make it through? You just look at the lily in the valley and you realize that Jesus didn't just get in your pathway by accident. The good Holy Ghost of God has orchestrated your path, and He's orchestrated your life, and He's sovereignly controlling the events of your life, and He's put you where you're at. And this is what you need to realize. The same God that put that lily in your valley is the same God that'll blow again. He's the same God that'll move again. He's the same God that'll come through again. Good God in heaven, He's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Hebrews 13:6. So that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, He's not just some flower. He is the flower. He's not just some plant. He is the plant. I'm telling you today, you may be in the valley. You may be in the dark place, but you rest assured, child of God, He hadn't abandoned you. He hadn't thrown you by the wayside. He's still good. He's still God. He's still in control. He is the lily of all of our valleys.